Welcome to The Fourth Day, a Wheel of Time podcast brought to you by DragonMount.com.
The Wheel of Time is an epic fantasy series written by Robert Jordan. There are currently 11 novels in the main series as well as one prequel novel.
Sadly, in September of 2007, as he was working on finishing the series, Robert Jordan lost a long and hard-fought battle.
However, despite the loss of its creator, the wheel turns on.
This podcast is dedicated to discussing and enjoying the monumental work of fiction that is The Wheel of Time.
We really need to choose a topic, otherwise this is going to be the podcast that wasn't.
This is going to be the rambling hallucinogenic podcast.
The one thing I'm noticing while reading the last book is, strangely enough, Elida seems to be in control of her facilities, you know? She, prior to Alvieran coming in and taking control, she was going all power-hungry with Padan Fain, right? She was sending out people to capture the Dragon Reborn, go take out the Black Tower, you know, wipe them out, steal them, kill them, execute them where they are, build a palace that's going to be bigger and more fancy than anything else, you know, and she was doing all that stuff. Then Alvieran kind of knocked her off her high horse. And now that she's back in power, she's actually cleverly scheming. She's still kind of brutishly dumb, trying to force everyone to listen to her. And, you know, Elaine's right. She's eventually going to get herself deposed, but I don't know. She seems a bit more sharp these last few chapters I've been reading.
Yeah, I'm just not sure about her. I don't know whether she's just so completely stupid that she might as well be Black Aja. Because everything she does seems to point her and everyone around her in the absolute opposite direction of what she should be doing. She's the absolute opposite of a good leader. And I thought that before she ever got any contact with Padan Fain.
The attack on the White Tower by the Shantan, how will it be facilitated?
Yeah, I've wondered about that myself. I mean, I think they're biting off an awful lot to do that. I actually thought that one of them had said that, but it turned out it was in one of, I think it was in one of Egwene's dreams or something, where somebody said that they were going to take over the White Tower and salt the ground and destroy it, tear it down and everything.
Chuan's the biggest indicator of what will take place, because her thoughts were like, the White Tower is the major target of the Shantan Empire. Marath Damani, or whatever, running the countries is how they see it, and they take the White Tower out, everyone else will bow to them.
Actually, at some point, isn't there, like, the barest vague outline of a plan set in motion in the last, I think, two books? I think it actually might have been Bai Tuan talking about, you know, their future assault on the White Tower, and I thought it was only halted because the rest of the Imperial family did not live forever.
Sorry, repeat that one more time, because there's something I remember from what I just read that might make a big difference.
It seems to me that somewhere in the last two books, someone makes mention of at least vague plans for an assault on the White Tower. And
yeah,
I think
does.
It got thrown into chaos when the Imperial family was assassinated.
Yeah, hold on a second, you guys. I got to go turn that phone off in the other room.
No problem. I really don't get how Simarag can be so horrible that her jailers smuggled her out of her prison just by scaring them with what she said.
I think that's what makes her one of my favorite Forsaken.
Sorry about that. Somebody's got the volume on all these Kulbox Terangriel turned up to the max.
You are such a freaking dork. I just can't believe how fluently you said that.
What?
All these Kulbox Terangriel.
That's because I live in a fantasy world 90% of the time. My biggest problem is keeping them separate. You know, and you talk about Shaitan, I'm going like, oh my gosh, it's like he who must be not be named, you know? Lord Voldemort, ah!
With the Wheel of Time, I have a hope that Rand will live, have three wives, lots of children, all that stuff. I mean, he hasn't had sex with Avienda yet. I don't know when he's going to get her pregnant, but he's got to. And they have the sense of impending doom, like tomorrow might be the last battle, or the last battle's taking place today. But I don't see a point where they're going to have a chance to be together. And I'm actually frankly surprised Min isn't pregnant yet. But she's been drinking the Heartleaf tea because she doesn't want to be pregnant. Because she's a little, you know, I want to be free, not tied down yet. Although she loves Rand to death because of his Teverin ways. Which And my mind is kind of like the date rape drug. But,
Taverin date rape. That's awesome.
Wow, that actually sounds pretty kinky.
Or rather horrible.
Got a whole new spin on the Wheel of Time now.
He's not her type, so.
God, that's scary. Well, I'm sorry, that completely, I think I'm done. That was over the edge. I'm going to have the giggles for the rest of the night.
Yeah. The other day I was thinking about Taverin and how they always seem to turn at the last minute when an arrow is about to hit them because somebody did something or whatever, some occurrence happened. What I think it is the creator's way of saying, ha 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 ha, you're not going to kill him, because he's weaving the pattern and something is flexed or something happens, odds twist in these guys' favor to save their lives. Like Perrin turned to talk to General Ty Lee or Banner General Ty Lee, and the arrow like brushed his arm and like big cut in his arm, but otherwise it would have went right through his chest if he hadn't twisted. Like that just doesn't, that's not random chance, that's the creator saying, okay, you can't kill this person yet, I'm not done with him, so no matter what you do, these people are basically invincible. You can take a hand, you can scar them, you just can't kill them. I don't think, it's kind of like Elaine's kind of mindset that, you know, I've got a destiny, I can't be killed, I might be hurt, but I can't be killed, so it's not really that. So where am I going with this? There's no real suspense that someone's going to die.
Well, I don't know. You know, Varen and some of the others and Moraine have said that Rand can die. He has to be careful. They're constantly exhorting him to have a little more caution, because just because he's the Dragon Reborn and Taverin doesn't mean that, you know, he can't kick the bucket if somebody makes a concerted attempt. But obviously they're, you know, the creator has set some protection in place over them by making them Taverin so that things tend to happen to favor them. But I've often wondered if the three girls aren't also Taverin, Nynaeve, Elaine, and Avienda, and maybe even Egwene. They seem to have an unusual amount of survivability considering the situations that they show up in.
Well, we know Egwene is not, because one of the novices under her has the ability to see Taverin.
Oh, that's right. Nicola.
Nicola
Treehill.
Seeing as Taverin is Matt.
Right. Nicola. Nicola Treehill. And she was around Nynaeve and Elaine as well. So they're not. Well, that shoots my theory down. Thanks a lot. I'd forgotten all about that. That's a good point.
Let's talk about what Egwene and Gon's wedding is going to be like. The Amyrlin and the Crown Prince. Or the, what's the title of Gon again?
First Prince of the Sword.
Yeah.
Isn't it? First Prince of the Sword of Andor.
Are they going to elope or have a big wedding?
Oh, I think they have to have a big wedding. Even if they get married by some village wisdom, they're going to have a real wedding in Andor.
And will Berlane fall in love with Galad?
That's my bet.
I think we had a little bit of an argument about that an episode or two ago.
No, Galad's got to fall in love at some point, and there's nobody more prissy than Berlane that suits his poise and looks.
They pretty have some killer good-looking kids.
What's going on with Berlane's attitude change towards Perrin? Has she just taken on a different strategy? Because in the books he's so like, how could anyone ever think that there is no friendship between them? You know, she's wonderful now. She's given up and decided that him and Fael are perfect together, but, you know, she swore an O-year's oath. I mean, unless she date-raped him while he was passed out unconscious just to settle her oath, I can't think of what strategy she's trying to do.
Really just trying to turn this episode around towards date rape, aren't you?
He just won't let it go. He just will not let it go. Yeah, I don't know. I think Berlin's going to go right back to her old tricks now that Faelo's back. I think that was just a temporary truce because she was gone. It's no fun, you know, trying to ace out your rival if your rival's captured by Aiel.
I don't know. I would have to say that if there was a girl that I would like to date out of all the Wheel of Time, out of all the characters, who would it be? Cad Swan would have the most experience, at least.
Oh, old for you,
let's see. Well, the ageless face makes it a little less repulsive, you know. I'm sure she's pretty fit and healthy.
Well, she certainly charged up the stairs.
I'm just really glad the word rape appeared nowhere in that sentence.
Say what?
What I heard you say, out of all of the, you know, women in the Wheel of Time that I would like to date, pause. And I was so expecting you to say the word rape then afterwards, which was just, you know, because my mind was on that particular topic. And then when you went on instead of saying it, I was just like, wow, I'm really glad the word rape didn't appear in that sentence because it makes it so less creepy now.
Well, I gotta tell you, it's gotta be a little tough to date rape an Aes Sedai, isn't it? I mean, unless you give them fork root, what chance have you got?
Barreling would be too snobby and too hoity-toity. Fael is too dedicated to Perrin. At the same time, would probably stab me if I tried touching her the wrong way. Avienda, much the same, and I'm into PDA, public displays of affection. Now you learned. Elaine, I do like hot lawns, but again, probably too hoity-toity. Egwene might be nice. What do you think of Bodo and Coffin? What would she be like? They don't really talk about her much.
I think she's underage. I think she's jailbait, hun.
Oh, you're right. Isn't she like 15 or 16? Let's move up the ladder a bit.
All the way from Cat Swain to Bodwin. What in the world?
Birgitta.
No.
Birgitta? Now you are going Birgitta. For it. Go for the gold, huh?
Yeah. That would be perfect. Don't have to buy her flowers. Just like a night out with the pals and a little friendly action at the end.
Just take her out drinking, and there you go.
That kind of depends, though, too. I mean, you have to, you have to remember, unless you consider yourself a really ugly guy, she might not go for you back.
Yeah,
I'm not a pretty boy, I can say that.
Oh, I've seen your picture. You're too pretty for Brigitte. Way too pretty for Brigitte. Sorry.
I don't have a face like a hammer, but I'm kind of blunt. other than her, not naive.
Definitely not naive.
Tuan.
Oh.
Tuan sounds interesting. Although, she's 19 or 20 or 21. I can't remember. Yeah, I think so.
You really have eclectic tastes. You know that?
There's also the fact, though, that Tuan is now Empress. May she live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And married.
Yeah, I have a bad habit of finding the high maintenance ones.
Well, I think she. Well, no,
I would say
all of her sisters got killed, so that's out. You know,
Leanne Sheriff would probably be the most fun.
That sounds reasonable. She seems like she would be a really good fun.
What about you, Andrew? Have I mentioned several choices or none of the choices that you would pick?
Not exactly sure.
Wait, you're getting married soon, so let's not put you in trouble.
Yeah, I need more time to consider anyway.
Which guy rocks your boat?
Oh,
Virginia, of course.
I really like Matt. I think he'd be a lot of fun. I think he'd be a real trial as a husband, but I think he'd be a lot of fun to date. Let's see, apart from him... Ooh, that's tough. There are things that I like about Bale Dolman. He's not really the type of guy I would normally go for, but there are some things about his personality that I find attractive.
You do be beautiful this day.
Yeah, he's kind of a cool, funny guy, you know. And he's really good to Lyllwyn now.
Eganin.
Yeah, nope.
I'm
not going to answer to that anymore now. It's got to be Lyllwyn. I always sort of thought that... Well, Galad's kind of... He's too prissy for me. I mean, even if he's good-looking, I don't think I could stand to have anybody that was that stuck up on doing the right thing all the time. Gawain, I think he'd be a lot of fun. He's kind of young, you know, a little idealist.
He's become scared.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rand has a lot of possibilities, too. There are a lot of things I like about Rand, but in his current frame of mind, I just think he would be way too high maintenance. He's just got way too much in his mind, and he's always brooding and upset, and I don't know.
What about Tom Marilyn?
Oh, I adore Tom Marilyn. He's kind of old for me, but yeah, I like him. I could definitely spend my life with Tom Marilyn. That would be like the ideal guy, actually, because, you know, he's educated, he's funny, he's talented. You know, he's got a lot of stuff.
A little bit of the bad boy.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going for him. I could definitely deal with that. Actually, I'm probably closer in age to Tom than I am to Rand or any of the others. Sad to say. Very sad to say.
Well, that, and he's got a cool-ass nickname. Him and Matt both, if you really think about it. The Gray Fox and the Prince of Ravens.
Yeah.
Oh, when did Matt get Prince of Ravens? Is that after he got married?
When he got married to Tuon, he became the Prince of Ravens. The Prince of the Ravens, I think.
We're going to branch right into a very serious discussion, which I don't know has been discussed before or not, but let's see if we can make it happen. How is Matt going to give up half the light of the world simply by marrying Tuon, or is there more to it than that? Is he going to fight on behalf of the Shan Chan, or is he going to do something else? I don't quite understand what the images Egwene had with him holding his eyes and one of his eyes in his hand or something.
Well, I thought the obvious would have been that it meant that he would lose an eye, you know, by choice somehow. I'm not quite sure. There's precedent for that in other fantasy series, and I don't know if that means anything or not.
Some people might have taken a lot of significance in the killing of the second or third woman with the crossbow bolt and how something kind of died inside him, but I don't quite think that's significant enough to warrant half the light of the world kind of a comment. Or even an eye loss. Maybe he lost some kind of outlook on life or something. I don't know. But
well, I have to think that being married to Tuon would be such a chore that it would definitely take away half the light of the world. I think she was beyond high maintenance. That has got to be an uphill battle being married to her. And now that she's empress, you know, you could like that much squared.
Not even that, though. What I'm reading right now in the chapters in this final book is that actually they've quite charmed each other. Like, she enjoys kissing him, she melts in his arms, but she does try to keep some kind of propriety around her and tries to keep him under her control, but they're quite taken with each other. So when she actually declares him her husband, I'm not quite surprised by that, and I don't think it's going to be so much high maintenance. I think there is genuine affection and attraction. It's just a matter of how bad can it get? Like, can she order him and he has to listen, or will he just dance away like he normally does? Will the cannons with Aludra be the major factor of what destroys the world? I mean, or half the world? I don't know. Take away the one power, you've got cannons. It's no different than war nowadays.
Yeah, I didn't really think of it in an allegorical sense. I just assumed that it would be, you know, an actual, like Rand losing his hand, losing the body part. I could be wrong about that. I've certainly been wrong before. And I can't think now. I'm all a flutter over Tom.
Ooh.
Oh, it's just something about a worldly, experienced man. I mean, telling you. The Gray Fox.
Tell you, my darling.
Ooh. And he could keep you entertained endlessly. I mean, you know. I'd have to be like, who was the woman in Ebedar that he said... they said that she made everyone entertain her first.
Abudar.
The serving woman, not really a serving woman, the noble, that she took Alvar to the Feast of Birds.
Oh.
And then she ended up marrying the Shan Chan Air Captain Yulon. Mm. What was her
Had
name?
The big bosom.
Yeah, the one with the notable bosoms.
Tom would tell stories.
Yeah, and play the harp, and then...
No, her name was Rissel.
Yes, Rissel. And now I can't even think of the queen's name. My brain has gone completely dead.
Tylin,
yeah. Tylin's son said that, Rissel makes everyone entertain her first. I thought that was pretty
funny.
And then
Tom choked.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
So you literally think he's going to lose an eye. Andrew, what do you think about him giving up half the light of the world? Do you have any hypotheses on what that might actually mean, if it's not that?
No, I don't know, because we've seen now independently of that particular saying by the Finns, both a dream from Egwene and a foretelling from Min, that both seem to suggest the eye. I remember there was a dream, I believe it was, of Egwene's, where Matt was dicing, I believe, with the Dark One, and he had a bandage covering his eyes, or a cloth or a sash wrapped around his head, and that blood was streaming down from where an eye was. And then it was either in a vision or in a dream where he literally plucked his own eye out and placed it on a balance scale, which, you know, that works in with giving up half the light of the world, half of your vision to save the world, you know, to balance things out. So I had always assumed it was kind of like that, but I'm not exactly sure. I still like my own personal little theory that Matt will be in the Tower of Genji, and he's going to make some sort of reference towards, you want to see the world through my eyes, well, here, have one, and, you know, offer it up as payment to get Moraine back. One of those things that I've had people tell me, well, you know, I can't see him being quite that brassy, and I'm like, yeah, but I could. I really like Matt, and I can see that being the kind of, you want to see through my eyes? Here.
Or that could become some price that they demand from him. She actually referenced his left eye specifically, Matt placing his own left eye on a balance scale in her dream. I'd forgotten about the specificity of it. I mean, that sort of, to me, takes it out of the realm of allegory when she says he placed his own left eye on a balance scale. I think that's got to be the physical body part there. I'm going to have to call this the body parts episode. Maybe we could talk about Rand's hand now and the significance.
What part will Perrin lose?
They'll gild him.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I think he's already been. I mean, regardless of what Fael says about wanting him to be the stronger of the two and all that, I think she's sort of like a certain political character in our time who has their own testicle lockbox.
And she carries spies around her all the time that will be watching him.
Yeah. All her eyes and ears tailing after him constantly.
When do you think they're going to find out that Magden is really Morghese?
Well, I don't know. Does Galad now believe that his mother is alive, or does he still think that she's dead? Because Valda said that she was alive when he last saw her.
I believe the actual term was, the wench was hale when last I saw her, which I know kind of loved. It was that weirdly condescending jab at Morghese's honor, and it, you know, I was just like, wow, why are you doing this? Because if he kills you now, he's going to kill you because you're being a prick.
Yeah, basically, that was a great turn of phrase. I was going to say that, but then I thought, no, we've been on the edge of racy this whole episode. I thought I'll be good about the wenches.
Unlikely hookups that are yet to come.
Well, what's the deal with going back to Perrin with Berylaine and Fael, you know, fighting over him? The hawk was presumably Berylaine trying to fasten a lead around Perrin's neck. I mean, are they going to resolve that? Are they just going to play nice from now on? Or are they actually going to come to blows over Perrin now that Fael is back?
Well, they're going to have those rumors about Perrin sleeping with Berylaine, and he's not going to bring him up first. So there's going to be lots of suspicion again, and Fael smelling all spiky, and he won't yell and deny it, and then she'll suspect, and then she'll bring up Roland, and then they'll be yelling, and then there'll be separation, and he'll go run with wolves and become a werewolf, and that's the last we saw of the Wolf King.
Okay, that kind of wraps up that storyline. So Perrin's going to be in wolf form for the whole rest of the last book. Nobody can't because Egwene's...
For the record, I'm just joking.
He can't because Egwene's dream has Perrin with a beard leading a huge pack of wolves that stretches as far as the eyes can see.
Egwene's on hallucinogenics, didn't you know?
Oh, is that it? Oh, cool. Where can I get some of those?
In novice training.
Aha.
When they get too weepy and cry last, they give the medication.
Oh, so Elida must have been really weepy because she started her foretelling early.
Well, what we don't really realize is that Egwene coma in the White Tower, they were too rough on her in her training, they gave her medication, and she's actually dreamed most of the books.
Oh, they're going to do sort of a Dallas thing where she'll wake up, you know, in her novice room, and the whole last 7 books have been a dream, right?
You could slap one character, kick them in the nuts, or trip them up and pull their hair. Which character would it be?
Oh, I'd love to slap Galena. She drove me crazy. And Elida. I can't stand Elida.
You're basically talking about all the Red Sack like that, so...
Well,
there's very few, like... Turn of Fear actually surprised me. She went from being very cold and red and then turned into this relatively reasonable woman when she got back to the tower and got raised to the Keeper's Goal. But there's a Red that shows up in Camelin right before Egwene gets kidnapped. Sorry about the spoiler. And she acts the same way as Elida and Galena. Every Red has the exact same attitude. It's really weird. They stomp in and they're like, the Aes Sedai of all Aes Sedai. You best listen or we will make you suffer.
Yeah, but the same could be said of some of the Whites, too. I mean, two of the most obnoxious Aes Sedai in the whole series of books have got to be Carlenia and Alviarin. I mean, don't you just want to throttle both of them sometimes?
But you can't count... Alviarin doesn't have any logical aspect to her. She's all black.
Oh, but she was a White.
She pretended to be a White. I never really realized how often the female-on-female action actually takes place in this book. I never really understood the reference of Pillowfriend. I was kind of brushed right over it. I just thought it was like Egwene and Elaine whisper through the hole.
He is in such a mood today. What is it?
Me or him?
Dude, what did you do? Take a double dose of Viagra or something?
That just killed me.
Elida was pillow friends with, what's-her-face, one of the rebels, remember, when they were novices?
Exactly. I was reading that just like today or yesterday, and I was like, my God, there's another one. It's like, they were pillow friends, and Galena used the... this is how it ties in. Galena uses the pillow friend approach to seduce girls to the Black Aja. She did it with many people. And Tarn of Fear comments on how Galena tried to seduce her and was surprised when she rebuffed her advances. And that's one of the reasons why Tarn of Fear never actually got dragged into the Black Aja, is because, you know, she never got into Galena's bed.
Well, you know, it is a giant sisterhood. I mean... Yeah, there are a lot of those aberrant fantasies about sorority girls.
Yeah, kind of like the boys' schools, too, I suppose.
How does one get initiated into an Aja from the accepted?
Wow. I don't think they're all pillow friends with each other. There are plenty of them like Tarna who like men just fine, even though they're Reds. And what about the Greens? Some of the Greens marry their warders, and they're not women like Brigitte, so...
I think some of the first pillow friends we're introduced to are in Carianan, when the Windfinder and the politician, I forget their names, are found in the rooms, and Rand ties them up and stuffs them under a bed, and they find out that they're pillow friends.
Oh,
that was
Shalon.
The first time I think I caught a reference to it, and then it just keeps unfolding.
Yeah,
well,
Shalon,
well, it depends
the
on
if
you're talking
and...
first time in order of publication or first time in order of chronological order. Because if you want to talk chronology, then you're going back to, like Elida and Moraine and so on.
Were Moraine and Swan pillow friends? Did they use that reference?
Yeah, in New Spring.
They were pillow friends, or somebody just thought they were?
I don't know, they were.
They were.
That I like.
You're just in such a mood today. What is it with you?
It's just Moraine, the really sexy, tiny, noble, and then the fishmonger's beautiful girl. You know, if she looks anything like the described now, it's just kind of great.
I would have to say that Moraine would probably have to make a list somewhere in my mind. If I were to really think about it.
There you go. Who could you do abject violence to beyond your normal kin? Basically do things Semirag would do. Which character do you hate that much?
Ew. Nobody. I would just balefire him.
But that's even more cruel.
See, I think, for me, anybody who I would really feel that strongly about is actually, I think, already dead. I think the series has already taken care of most of the characters I really don't like.
Huh, that's funny. Well, for me, except for maybe Galad and one or two others, you pretty much pick a white cloak. I never liked any of them.
Leandrin.
Yeah, Leandrin. Galena. I hated Galena. Just because I had to listen to her whine so long.
Galena, she's broken.
Good. Well, Sarava, too. Tarava would be another one. I just test her. Oh, and Sivana. What a creep.
Tylee got her. I wonder what she's going to do with her. Make her duck a veil or whatever.
Oh, one can only hope.
Problem is the Aiel can embrace pain, so they're probably going to have to kill her or imprison her.
Balefire.
Tylee can't do that. And I don't think the Shan-Chan know how yet. If the Shan-Chan get a hold of that, holy crap, I don't even think they'd understand the repercussions. They wouldn't even listen to anyone that told them because they wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Semirag, except that we got to get all that information out of her first.
Think you're going to succeed doing that.
Oh, I do.
I think Kutsumane will work her over more than she would expect anyone in the Third Age to be able to work her over. I really do, and you know, I would still hold out a hope somewhere, even though I'm fairly certain it's not going to happen, that somehow she's going to be pressured into doing what Nynaeve couldn't and rehealing Rand's hand.
Yeah, I agree. I think somehow or another, either Catswain or Nynaeve or both are going to get a hold of an Eidom and slap that thing on her. And Nynaeve already knows how to deal with somebody being held by an Eidom from her experience with Mogedion, and I think Catswain is probably, as I said in the episode about Catswain, I think she could probably irritate information out of anybody, let alone beat it out of them. I think she could pretty much get anybody to tell anything. I think Semrog's in for a rude awakening.
I don't know. My thought is that Codswain and Geatara and those sort, I kind of see them on a different level of Aes Sedai than the current Aes Sedai. I mean, when you really think about it, Codswain looks at all these others and she's just like, they're all just girls. They're not really Aes Sedai, you know. And she seems to be the only real Aes Sedai. And you know, I myself include Moraine in that particular group as well, because I think she pulls it off better than almost any other Aes Sedai I've seen in the books, despite the fact that most of them are older than she is.
I forgot to add that one of the characters that I find really attractive, as far as who you'd want to date, would be Loghain, except that I have this sneaking suspicion that Loghain might have been turned to the dark side, you know, with the 13 Murdral and 13 Aes Sedai.
Why do you have that?
What's that? Why do I think that?
Why do you have that suspicion?
Because I
think... the Dark Friends are at least them?
Because I
Wait,
think...
no, Egwene did.
Yeah, but Egwene released him, and I thought for a long time that he was a good guy, but I just am kind of suspicious of him because we know there's got to be some hidden dark friend close to Rand. It seems like there just has to be. And
Elsa?
Well, but we know about her. And he doesn't know about her. He's kind of a git.
I figure Catswain is.
I don't think Catswain's black. Just because... Well, several things, but the main thing is because in her mind she is musing on how she almost rooted out the Black Aja at one point in time and failed, and that's not something that people that normally, you know, lie and become delusional inside their heads to that extent.
Sure.
I just think that Loghain has become so... I mean, he leaves the Black Tower to join Rand for no particular reason that we can see. I mean, he just up and goes.
Because he's disgusted by Tame, who he knows is a dark friend?
That's true, but we don't...
And he reports that to Rand?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, it just kind of popped into my head one day, and I think that it might be true. He's too good. That's the problem. He's too good to be doing what he's doing.
Does Olivia still serve the Empire?
Does who? Olivia?
She knows the prophecies.
Oh, she could be a dark friend, I suppose. I don't think she'd go back to serving the Empire, because they'd slap her right back in a leash.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of her being rogue. You know, coming over to the Randland side, for lack of a better term, because we never have a name for that continent.
Yeah, I don't think she's a Dark Friend or a Sean Chen agent. I think she's just... Now that she's freed and had a taste of freedom, she decided she liked it. Answer me this question before we go. I have been looking through the Encyclopedia Watt, the resource for Wheel of Time fanatics like us, but I cannot find the name of the rebel Aes Sedai that was pillow friends with Elida when they were novices.
Here, I'll just crack it open. It was a couple chapters back.
It wasn't Ciane, I know.
It was one of the rebels in the tower that had been sent back, so one second.
Yeah, one of the ferrets.
Yeah, because... Oh,
I'm here, one second.
The Black Lodge Hunters had sent her to renew ties with Elida, didn't they?
Medani.
Thank you. It was driving me crazy. It's one of those things that you sit up all night trying to think of, where you have to go look it up in the book right away. The three listeners that we actually have, or gain thousands more.
After these messages, I'll be right back.